NPR.
Robert Smith!
Stacy!
How's it going? What are you doing?
I am listening for the cicadas. We're here in Prospect Park.
Yes.
And they're supposed to emerge at some point after 17 years with a distinctive sound, and I can't hear them yet.
Yeah, I can't hear them either. I've been kind of waiting for the cicadas too. I think we might be slightly too far north.
I believe they're coming.
But it is amazing, right? Like, think about it. The last time they were roaming around on Earth was 17 years ago.
I know, I check my phone every 5 minutes. They've just been clueless for 17 years.
17 years. I mean, you know what, actually, Robert? This feels like it might be a pretty solid indicator of the week.
17?
I mean, where were you 17 years ago?
Oh, 17 years ago, I had just moved to New York City as a new reporter for NPR.
Oh, nice.
Covering the whole city, but also Wall Street. And you?
I had just started my very first radio job at Marketplace. I started covering the economy, paying attention to the economy for the first time. Yeah, I wonder what it would be like if we ran into each other in the park 17 years ago. Like, I wonder what we would be talking about. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Robert Smith.
Today's indicator is 17. What was going on in the economy 17 years ago when the cicadas went underground? And what's happened since then?
Time to go back in time to 2004.
Indeed.
I'm going to go to shop.npr.org/planetmoney. What we've got for sale here is a t-shirt, a sticker, the patch from when we sent a satellite to space, a bunch of Planet Money stuff for sale at shop.npr.org/planetmoney for all of the Planet Money lovers in your life.
Well, hello, Robert Smith of 2004.
Hello, Stacey Vanek Smith. So what do you see around the world of 2004 that might indicate the health of the economy?
What do you mean?
Like an indicator.
That seems like a clunky term. Maybe like a signal.
Oh, a signal.
A signal. Okay. So some signals from the economy. Well, you know, the housing market is going crazy right now.
Oh,
everybody's buying houses.
Going up.
Two houses, flipping houses, three houses. You can't lose money.
No, people really should buy a lot of houses.
I think that's true. And in fact, the head of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, has come out and said housing bubble is not a problem. Housing prices, they're just going to keep going up.
Look, we just came out of a recession in 2001. I can't see how it could get worse.
Exactly. I think it's only aces from here.
Well, you know, I've been covering a lot here at NPR in 2004 is this whole shopping on a computer thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now I know it was like a big fad in 1999 that you could like order dog food online. They'd deliver it to you
people
would lose
like
a ton of money on it. It's never going to happen. But this is the signal that I see right now in 2004. There is a huge merger. Kmart just bought Sears.
Well, it's the once bankrupt Kmart that's buying Sears in this $11 billion deal.
Whoa. Retail King Kong meets retail Godzilla, like coming together, working together. They're going to be unbeatable.
Think about it. The bargain prices of Kmart combined with the selection of Sears with their great locations. I mean, I think this is the rebirth of brick and mortar retail. It cannot miss.
Right. I agree. And like these companies that are like trying to move everything online, like, you know, there's that bookseller, Amazon.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've gone public. I think they finally turned a profit just recently, like barely. I mean, they've been just losing money for 10 years. They keep thinking like, oh, we're going to make everybody buy everything online, but no one's ever going to buy clothes online. Like, you want to go into a store and try clothes on. It's not going to happen.
So weird. And you know, they don't make very much money on every purchase. It's like their plan is to somehow like, oh, we're going to sell everything and sell so many things that we're going to put everyone else out of business and then we'll jack the prices up.
Yeah, I mean, it's an admirable long game, but good luck with that. Then again, what do I know? I still have my Razor phone, but I did hear about this phone, the iPhone from Apple. It is like the iPod, but you can call people on it and you can store your favorite songs on it and listen to them. Songs exactly like Destiny's Child's number one hit, Lose My Breath.
Arguably their most popular best song ever, but still a little early to tell.
I mean, they're super talented women. I just don't know if I see much of a future for them.
Speaking of hip music that the college kids like these days, there is the latest college fad. Have you heard of this? It's called The Facebook.
Westmatch.com, and then in Watertown, Massachusetts, Mark Zuckerberg, creator of Harvard's TheFacebook.com.
The Facebook, as I understand it, is a way to communicate, share pictures, maybe like find co-eds. I don't know. It's just at Harvard. It was invented by these twins, the Winklevosses, Winklevi, something like that, and then this other geeky guy. And they made this thing, and get this, it has now spread to half of Harvard's campus. That's like thousands of people all using the Facebook at the same time.
I mean, who cares what they're doing at Harvard, though? That doesn't seem like it's going to go anywhere.
Well, they're about to expand it to Princeton, Stanford, and Yale.
Still not, I don't know, I'm still not convinced. Is this like MySpace or something?
Yeah, it's a little too complicated. You always have to ask yourself, like, could my mom use this? And it's just not possible.
No Facebook. Way. Oh my God, are you kidding?
Oh, you know, there is something I'm working on. You've maybe never heard of this, but I'm working on this story. It's probably going to air early next year.
Oh yeah.
About this thing. Well, here, listen to how I plan to start this story.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This is Alex Chadwick speaking.
If you love your digital music player, here's another perk. You can now download podcasts. These are amateur radio shows created by iPod users. Hey, amateur radio, that's what they call us. Anyway, here's NPR's Robert Smith with that story.
Just like blogs on the internet are providing a new stage for alternative writers and journalists, the podcast has caught on with people who always dreamed of being DJs or talk show hosts. In just the last few months, a young man in California started Insomnia Radio, which features independent rock bands.
Here is 100K. Turn this up.
Isn't that amazing? It's like a blog for audio.
I can't imagine who's going to listen to this, though. Right? Like, it's not edited. It's just anybody can do it.
You know, here's the thing. I imagine that there may come a time where our flip phones and our Blackberries can actually play audio, and that we could carry them around with us wherever we go, and that these podcasts will just like be beamed to it magically, and then we can walk along and we can listen to our radio stories whenever we want, wherever we want, anywhere in the world.
No. That's not gonna happen.
I was just playing with you.
I mean, imagine though if it did, like, be like, well, thank you to our guest, Robert Smith. And this episode of The Indicator was mixed by Jamila Huxtable with help from Gilly Moon. It was fact-checked by Sam Tsai. The Indicator's edited by Kate Concannon and is a production of NPR.
Never happen.
Never gonna happen. I'll see you in 17 years, I guess.
Yeah, bye. See you then.